Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi and continuing coverage of the case against Karen Reed.
Another interesting day in the trial of Karen Reed. And I find from just seeing everybody's responses online that each side thinks they did really good.
Yeah, they do. Everybody thinks the other side did poorly.
It's really kind of funny. Just, I don't know. I mean, most people know how I feel now, but I'm basing that on an opinion that's kind of teetered both ways through this whole thing. I just feel at this point, she's damned herself so much with her own words. I find that to be the most damning of everything. Mm-hmm. I think she hit him. I do. Now on purpose, I don't think it was on purpose, but then you have to go to the purpose of, well, if she hit him and she knew it, did she leave? Why did she leave? Did she know that she hit him? And I think there's pieces here that can be interchanged where this isn't true. For this to be true, this doesn't have to be true. Anyway, horrible accident, but someone who seems to not be taking accountability for it at all. But one of the craziest people today in this, not crazy that she's crazy, but one of the craziest testimonies we got today was from a former Canton PD. I believe she's a Boston police officer now. Mm-hmm. Kelly,
It's
Devers. Dever, one of the two. And no S, because she will correct you, because she had a lot of great
That's
one-liners.
Right, she did.
This is, you can tell me she's a young cop, but you can tell she's already kind of badass. And, give her 15, 20 more years on the force, and she's going to be the person you really, really don't want to fuck with.
She proved that today.
And she's already on track to be there, but she's the young version of it, but she's got the tenacity. And it's quite a testimony. We're going to go through it, and we'll chat along the way. This is Kelly Dever. We'll find out when she corrects Alan Jackson here in just a few moments. So let's watch this.
It's ugly, man.
Good morning. Could you state your name and spell your last name for the jurors, please?
Kelly Dever. Last name Dever.
And what do you do for a living?
I'm a police officer.
Where are you employed?
Boston Police.
How long have you been so employed with the Boston Police Department?
2 years and a little over 2 months.
Where'd you work before that?
I worked for the Canton Police.
Were you a sworn officer at that time?
At what time? When I was employed there?
When you were employed by the Canton Police Department?
Yes, I was.
As a sworn police officer?
Yes.
Okay. What was your duty assignment in January of 2022?
I was a patrol officer.
You're familiar with the case that's presently before the bench, correct?
In some capacity, yes.
Commonwealth versus Karen Reed.
Yes.
All right. Did you ever prepare any kind of report based on any of your conduct, your connection with this case, if there was any connection with this case, while you were a Canton police officer?
No.
Were you ever interviewed by any member of the Canton Police Department in furtherance of their investigation related to the death of John O'Keefe?
No.
Were you ever interviewed by the Massachusetts State Police?
No.
Let me finish the question. I got to finish the question, then you can answer. It works a little better that way. Were you ever interviewed by any member of the Massachusetts State Police in furtherance of their investigation into the death of John O'Keefe?
No.
Were you ever interviewed by either the Canton Police Department or the Massachusetts State Police with regard to any of your observations on January 28th or January 29th, 2022?
No.
And you never wrote a report about your observations or any observations that you had on January 28th or January 29th, 2022, correct?
No.
That was a double negative. Let me try that a different way. Did you ever write a report about your observations related to January 28th, 2022, January 29th, 2022?
No.
Thank you. As a matter of fact, the first time you were ever interviewed in connection with anything having to do with this case or this investigation related to the death of John O'Keefe was by a separate law enforcement agency, not the Massachusetts State Police, not the Canton Police Department, correct?
Yes.
That was in August of 2023, is that right?
Yes.
Do you remember the exact date?
No.
August 9th, 2023, does that sound right, about right?
I know it was the summer of 2023, okay. So...
Do you think it would refresh your recollection to take a look at a report of that interview?
Yes, because I've never seen it before.
Just insofar as the date is concerned, may I approach?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Take a look at the bottom of that page. Just glance at that and tell me once you familiarize yourself with that face date in that report. Okay. May I approach?
Yes.
Do you have that date in mind?
Yes.
Does that refresh your recollection that it was August 9th, 2023?
Yes.
Okay. I want to direct your attention, Officer Dever, to January 28th, 2022. Where were you working? What was your duty assignment on that day, January 28th, moving into January 29th?
Well, 3.5 years later, I remember I was on patrol. I don't remember anything further about this night.
Did you work overnight, like a late shift going into the morning of January 29th?
That was my assigned shift, so yes.
Okay. Who else was working with you on that particular day, if you recall?
Sergeant Good. Officer Mullaney. Officer Serif. And Officer Pasquarelli.
And what generally was your assignment when you went into work that night on January 28th?
Patrol.
At some point, either that evening or the early morning hours of January 29th, did you note that a call came in related to a person found in the snow, unresponsive in the snow?
Yes.
Tell me about that. The nature of the call and where were you?
I was in my cruiser. A call came in that said person in a snowbank, something along those lines. Immediately followed by that transmission, my sergeant requested that I come to take over dispatch.
Is that Sergeant Good?
Yes.
Okay. Did you, in fact, respond back to Canton PD to take over dispatch?
Yes. So I was already in the parking lot of the Canton Police while this took place. So I was already at the station.
Did you note whether or not Sergeant Good and or any of the others responded to the location while you stayed back to handle dispatch at the police department?
Yes, that's why I went inside so he could respond.
Were you aware that Sergeant Good, did you have any knowledge at that time that Sergeant Good was familiar with or knew who Brian Albert was?
Objection.
Sister.
Did you know who Brian Albert was at
no.
that time?
No.
Do you now?
Because of this case, yes.
I spoke over you, I'm so sorry. Based on this case, are you familiar with the name?
The name, yes.
Okay. Did you know Kevin Albert?
No. Oh, the detective Kevin Albert, yes I did.
Correct. How did you know Kevin Albert?
He was a detective for the Canton Police.
Were you aware of his relationship to Brian Albert at that time?
No.
Are you now aware of his relationship with Brian Albert?
Yes, from the media.
And what is that relationship as you know it?
Sister.
Did you know, sir? Did you know Brian Higgins at that time?
Yes, in passing.
I'm not asking if you're social friends. Asking if you knew who he was.
Yes.
How'd you know who Brian Higgins was?
He had an office in the Canton Police.
Is he a sworn police officer?
Not for us.
Is he a sworn federal agent?
Yes.
Worked for ATF?
Yes.
Okay. how long had you known and been familiar with Brian Higgins? Say, for instance, by sight, to be able to recognize who he was.
Sometime during 2020 is when I was probably first familiarized with him, because that's when I was employed at the Canton Police Department first.
Okay. Passing in the hallways, hi-bye, things like that.
Yes. Sustained as to form, Mr. Jackson.
Understood. Did you know him by sight?
Yes.
Could you recognize him if you saw him?
2.5 years later, no, but at the time, yes.
I'm not asking you about right now. I'm asking you back in January 2022. Could you recognize him by sight?
Yes.
Did you know who Kenneth Berkowitz was?
Yes.
Who is Kenneth Berkowitz?
He was the chief of the Canton Police.
Obviously very familiar with him. He's your boss, correct?
Yes.
When Sergeant Good instructed you to take over dispatch, explain what that meant.
It meant I walked inside and I sat down in a dispatch room.
Describe the dispatch room. What did that array look like?
There was chairs and computers.
Monitors?
Yes.
Does the dispatch area also have monitors of internal security camera footage?
I know there was camera screens, but I don't know if they were on TVs or computers or where in dispatch they were. I don't recollect where they were or how they would be accessed. They were in the room somewhere. I can't be more specific. I don't remember.
But you do recall seeing that there were monitors that were showing different views of internal security camera footage of Canton PD, correct?
The specifics? No. Were there? Yes.
I don't know what you mean by specifics. I'm asking you, were there monitors that you could look at that showed security camera footage from inside Canton PD? Different areas, hallways, corridors, offices, the Sally Port, for instance.
So, 2.5 years since I...
You keep saying 2.5 years later.
So, let her finish her answer and then ask.
It's been years since I've been in that room. They were somewhere in the room. Where cameras were in the Canton Police Department, I don't recall. The media's provided me information since this case took place, and I can't speak on what's my recollection and what's been media provided. There are cameras. I don't know where, on my memory, where they are.
So has the media informed you that there were internal security monitors at the dispatch location?
So the objection is sustained. Next question.
What do you recall from the dispatch room? What do you recall being in terms of monitors?
I remember there was a computer screen that had information about current calls, and then there was a 911 screen next to that. Those are the two computers that I would have been positioned in front of during this time.
As a dispatch officer, by the way, you were sworn officer at
yes.
that time, correct? Uniform, badge, gun, the whole works, right?
Yes.
Had you ever been in a Sally Port at Canton PD?
Yes.
What's the Sally Port?
A Sally Port is a garage, essentially.
Okay. You were aware that the Sally Port garage had a camera, a security camera?
It would make sense, because that's where we bring prisoners to drop them off.
Well, more than just makes sense, I'm asking you, do you recall that it had cameras that serviced the Sally Port garage? Security cameras.
It's where we brought prisoners, so there would be cameras, yes.
Okay, you're saying there would be cameras. I'm asking you, were there cameras?
According to the media, yes. I've seen the footage, so yes, there were cameras.
All right. So hold on. So I'm going to strike the officer. You have to answer the question based on your own angle. Yeah.
He's irritated.
You can't reference what we know from the media.
All right. There were cameras in the Sally Port.
Miss Dever, you wouldn't be here today.
I have no relation to this case, so...
I asked you that. I asked you if you weren't be here today.
Objection. This isn't direct.
So it's your witness.
I understand.
She can... No comments, just questions, nor that I understand that.
Do you want to be here today, ma'am?
I am put on the stand in a murder trial. I don't know why I'm here. I have no connection to this case.
You have no idea why you're here?
You've never talked to me. Nobody on the fence seems to talk to me since prior to the first trial. So I don't have any idea why I'm here.
No clue whatsoever, as you sit here, why you might have come to Golden State.
No.
Are you uncomfortable testifying?
No, it's part of my job.
You're a professional police officer, correct?
Correct.
That means you're a professional witness to certain things, correct?
In the crimes that I've gone on the stand before, yes, I have been.
And you understand the oath?
Yes, I do.
What is that oath?
The oath is to tell the truth.
The whole truth and nothing but the truth, right?
Objection.
Sustained.
All over. You have more to that oath? Can you raise your right hand? As a witness.
I'm objecting.
So I'm going to see you inside there for just a
second. One of the cameras, one of the monitors that you had access to back on January 29th did show the footage from, or did it show the footage from that, one of the other Sallyport garage cameras?
Can you rephrase the question?
Sure, it was a little bit clunky on my part. Did one of the monitors that you looked at, that you had access to at the dispatch area, did it show the video footage or the video feed from the Sallyport garage?
So I already said I don't remember where in dispatch the screen with the cameras was. There was a camera in the Sallyport. So if I'm going to make the assumption, then yes, of course. But now that's an assumption.
I'm not asking you for an assumption. Yeah. I'm asking you, did one of the feeds, now you're talking about the camera, the other side of the camera is the feed. Do you recall whether or not there was footage that you could see online in the dispatch area which showed the sound?
I'm going to go with yes.
Okay.
My clarification.
How long?
So, look, I don't know what that means. So what do you mean you're going to go with yes? Is your answer yes?
Crickets.
Yeah, she's pausing. This is not just a delay in the feed.
Well, she has to figure out, like, does it mean I physically saw it or I just knew it was there logically?
Thank you. What time about did you take over the dispatch desk that morning?
Immediately following when the 911 call came in.
Would have been 6-ish in the morning. Does that sound about right?
I would say towards the later of my shift, but it was the middle of winter and dark out, so I don't know if it was 4, 5, 6.
Understood. But it was still dark out.
Yes.
Once you took over the dispatch desk, did you stay there even past your normal shift ending to support the investigation that was ongoing?
Not to support the investigation. I was just on overtime.
Okay. So you stayed past your normal end time of your shift that day?
Yes, on overtime.
You stayed into the afternoon, correct?
I believe the shift ended at 3:45 p.m. for the Canton Police.
But you stayed past your ending shift time, correct? I'm sorry, I'll rephrase it. Did you stay past your ending shift time?
For my regular shift, yes, because I was on overtime on the day shift.
Did you observe anything unusual that stood out in your mind that occurred, pardon me, in the Sallyport while you were on that shift?
So we've discussed this previously. I can't make that statement on the stand because I've been provided information released by the defense that it was not a memory, that it was a distorted memory. Therefore, I can't state it because at this point it would be a lie. I cannot make that statement that you're wanting me to make on the stand because I've advised that that would be a lie.
Ms. Deborah, I've never asked you to make a statement one way or the other on the stand. I'm asking you an open-ended question.
Let me ask
the question. Did you observe something in the Sallyport garage on January 29th, 2022, that you found unusual, stuck out in your mind?
Given factual information that makes it so I know I did not, no.
So the answer is no.
Correct.
Do you remember being interviewed on August 9th, 2023?
I do.
That was by a separate law enforcement agency, correct?
Yes.
Two separate law enforcement agents, is that right?
Yes.
And you were advised during the course of that interview on August 29th of something, correct?
Can you rephrase that?
I'm sorry, August 9th.
So what was I advised of? Can you rephrase that?
Sure. Were you advised that lying to those officers would be a crime?
So it was a willing conversation. I've spoken with their legal team. Because of the fact I was providing factual information that showed a statement of mine was a false memory, it was not a lie. Therefore, I made it in good faith, and I retracted given information that it could not be accurate.
Ms. Gabbard, did you understand my question?
Yes, I did. You threatened to charge me with perjury during our phone call prior to the first trial if I didn't lie on the stand right now. I'm telling you,
ouch.
I did not see anything. Factually, I've been provided evidence by a timeline that is not correct.
Ms. Gabbard, my question is this. Were you advised it was a crime to lie to those law enforcement agents? Yes or no?
No.
They never told you. They never admonished you that it would be a crime to lie on?
Yes.
Sustained. As to form, Mr. Jackson.
So, did they advise you of anything? Any consequences of lying to them?
So, we had a willing conversation?
Yes or no?
I don't recall.
Okay, there's your answer.
You don't recall if they advised you of anything?
No, because it wasn't...
Go ahead and ask a question, but both of you only one at a time, okay?
As a trained law enforcement officer, are you aware that it's a crime to lie to certain other law enforcement agents?
When you have intent to lie, yes.
Okay. So you knew that when you spoke to these law enforcement officers, correct?
Yes.
Did you tell these law enforcement officers that you, in fact, saw Brian Higgins and Chief Berkowitz go into the Sallyport with the SUV? May I finish my question?
You can finish this question. Go ahead.
Did you tell those law enforcement agents on August 9th, 2023, that you saw Brian Higgins and Chief Berkowitz go into the Sallyport together and alone with the SUV? For a wildly long time.
That was my recollection at the time.
So you did say that?
At the time, that is what I recollected.
Okay. You and I spoke along with Mr. Unetti and Ms. Lilly on a conference call last year sometime. You remember that?
Yes.
Between the time that you were in on August 9th, 2023, and when we spoke sometime in maybe it was April or so of last year, does that sound about right?
Yes.
Did you have any conversation with any other party about your potential involvement in this case?
No.
Did you have a conversation with anybody in the commissioner's office at Boston Police Department?
Not about anything malicious.
I didn't use the word malicious. Why do you say malicious?
I had a conversation, but it was my department saying, regardless of what I need to say on the stand, they support me.
You were asked to go to the commissioner's office, correct?
Yes.
How long had you been on the Boston Police Department at the time that you were invited to go up to the Commissioner Michael Cox's office?
It had to have been before the first trial, so, and I know it was when the agency released information to outside people.
That's not my question.
Okay, so I don't recall.
Okay. You don't recall how long you had been on the force, generally, at the time that you were called up to the commissioner's office, on the Boston Police Department?
No.
What's it? 5 years, 2 years, 2 months, in your ballpark.
So I've been on the department for 2 years and 2 months. I would say somewhere in the range of a year.
Okay. Did you find it unusual for would you call yourself a rookie back then?
Yes.
Did you find it unusual that a rookie police officer would be called up to the commissioner's office personally?
It was a reflection of how good of a leader he is. It was not anything that I found unusual, given the fact he is someone who wanted to show support for his officer.
So all of your, I'm guessing all of your training class, all of your entry class in Boston, they've all gone up to the commissioner's office as well?
I don't know anyone else who's been in this particular circumstance.
You don't know anybody else who's been called up to the commissioner's office at your level at Boston Commission?
Objection.
Sustained.
Do you know any of your colleagues with your level of experience never been called up to the commissioner's office for a specific instance?
Objection.
That's sustained.
Now, when you went up to the commissioner's office, did you respond to the indication that you wanted to see you at his office?
It wasn't a direct line of contact from him.
Okay. Did you respond? Did you ultimately go? That's what I mean by respond. Did you go to his office?
He's my boss, so yes.
Okay. And who else was in that office?
Me. And him. The two of us.
General counsel? The boss of the police department?
No, it was just me and him.
Did you, the conversation that we had last year, did you say that general legal counsel for the Boston Police Department was also there?
Objection.
Not during that conversation. We...
Objection.
Next question.
Sure. Was there another time that you went to the commissioner's office where general legal counsel was there?
No.
Given that general legal counsel for the Boston Police Department?
Yes.
Was it in the commissioner's office?
No.
When was it?
During my conversation with the agents.
You took a lawyer with you to talk to this other law enforcement agency?
Yes. And their CEO type animals.
May I continue, Your Honor?
Yes.
Thank you. Ms. Dever, when we left off, I was asking you about the meeting at the commissioner's office. And I want to clear this up. Was general legal counsel in that office or not when you had a meeting with the commissioner, Michael Cox?
No, it was just me and the commissioner.
At some point, did the commissioner say to you that Boston Police Department, insofar as your connection to this case is concerned, Boston Police Department fully supports you?
Yes.
Did he also say, do the right thing?
That's a direct quote, so... I can't recollect if he said a direct quote 2 years ago.
A year ago, when you talked to us, the defense, did you tell the defense that when you were called up to the commissioner's office, we told you two things? Commissioner Cox told you, number one, Officer Police Department supports you, and Officer Dever, do the right thing.
So he said my name correctly? He said Dever? And,
so Mr. Jackson, let's go ahead and answer, please.
Yes, and he said nothing with the intent of guiding me one way or the other.
His intent was, ma'am. I asked you what he said to you. What were his words to you?
That he supports me.
And?
Just wanted me to tell the truth up here.
And his words were, do the right thing. Right?
I don't recall.
How many other times have you testified in a court of law? During the course of your job?
Two dozen, three dozen. Actually testified? Probably... ballpark a dozen times.
In any of those other cases, as Mr. Michael Cox called you up to his office to discuss your testimony in any of those cases? Yes or no?
That's not a yes or a no answer.
Well, yes, it actually is, Ms. Dever.
So no comments, okay? Just...
You understand the question?
The question, yes. The implication?
The question is, in any of those... I'm asking you an open-ended question. In any of those cases, Officer Dever, not including this one, has Commissioner Michael Cox ordered you up to his office to discuss your testimony?
No.
Thank you.
Mr. Brennan.
Good morning.
Morning, sir.
My name's Hank Brennan. We have never met before?
Correct.
Have you ever spoken to me before?
No.
The defense team, Attorney Jackson, asked you some questions this morning?
Yes.
It sounds like you've met them before.
Only by phone call.
How many times have you spoken to Attorney Jackson or anybody on the defense team before today?
Prior to the first trial, it was one phone call where we discussed the case. Outside of that, there may have been one other phone call before the first trial, but it wasn't a discussion of the case. And then prior to this trial, I received a phone call that said, confirm you will be available for one of these days.
Other than confirming you'd be available, was there any discussion before this trial with anybody on the defense?
Not about this case, no.
So the conversation, the subsequent conversation, was before the past event last year?
Yes, a year and a few months ago.
You worked at the Canton Police Department?
Yes, I did.
You were a police officer?
Yes, I was.
And it sounds like on January 29, 2022, at some point you were asked to attend the desk?
Yes.
The desk is at the front of the police department where you see people coming in and out of the police station?
Yes, there's glass windows.
That night, did you have any difficulty with your memory of the specific things that you saw that night?
I was never on the scene. I never spoke to a witness. I never met a victim. I never spoke with a suspect. This was just a random shift for me 3.5 years ago at a desk that I wasn't asked to recollect for over or about a year and a half after the occurrences of that night.
Did law enforcement, not the state police, the Canton police, did law enforcement ask you about your memory sometime after that night?
The agents asked me about a year and a half later. It was the August of 2023 meeting. So actually a year and 8 months later was the first time I ever spoke about this case.
When they spoke to you a year and 8 months later, did you suggest or share or tell them that you might have seen Chief Berkowitz and Mr. Higgins near the Salad Fork area?
I told them on the day of that I saw that. I didn't make any indications it was anything bad. I just said I saw them. And it was in good faith that I believed I saw that. That was the extent of that comment.
So you had told them you believed you saw Mr. Berkowitz and Mr. Higgins in the South Florida area that day?
On January 29th during my day shift, yes.
Did you then learn any information that helped you remember when your shift ended that day?
So I know my shift ended at 3:45 p.m., so I know that I left then. That wasn't ever one of my questions. The defense released a timeline right prior to the first trial that the vehicle on that day did not arrive in the Sally Port until about an hour and a half after I left, meaning it is not possible that I saw that.
When you saw this information, did you think about your memory?
When I saw that information, it made it clear to me that there was a distortion of the timeline and the false memory I created, I provided in good faith, but I retracted immediately, being provided evidence that it was not possible.
Who did you retract it to? Who did you retract?
So I told the defense team prior to the first trial. I also contacted the agents. The agents assured me that good faith.
Not what they said, but what you thought. Not what they said to you.
Did they put you in jail when you told them about your mistake?
No, I even spoke with the legal team, and they said that I made a comment in good faith. There was absolutely no way that I could be charged with anything of being malicious.
Before we get through the conversation with the defense team, now I wasn't there in that conversation, was I?
No.
Did you ever share that conversation with me?
I've never shared it with anyone.
Before we get to that, you seem a bit anxious. Are you anxious?
Confused as to why I'm here, but anxious now.
Are you... have you received any negative pushback because of you destroying your memory? Objection.
I'm going to allow that.
No.
Have you received any attack on the warranted attention from your public or media?
Not to my knowledge, but I didn't go digging to find it.
You mentioned the media sent you something. What did they send you?
So I've seen things in the media. No media has ever been directed for me to find it. It's just this case is unavoidable as a local person on the internet who sees things that get shared.
So inevitably, you contact the bank of defense?
Yes, prior to the first trial.
You mentioned that somebody had suggested you be charged with perjury?
Yes.
Who did that?
One of the male members of the defense team.
Why did they say that to you?
Objection.
Sustained.
What were you discussing when you were threatened with perjury?
They were essentially telling me what they were looking for me to say on the stand.
What were they looking for you to say?
They were looking for me to say that I saw Higgins and Berkowitz in the garage with the car.
Did you share with them that that wasn't an accurate memory?
Yes.
How did it respond?
They became very aggressive, raised their voices, and the one word that I can very definitely remember is they said that they would charge me with perjury.
What did they want you to say?
They wanted me to say that statement, although I knew at that point it was not an accurate statement given the timeline.
Jesus.
Yeah, that's harsh.
At least once during the phone call, but once you say it once, it was enough.
What else happened during that phone call? How was the timeline?
That was essentially the thing I remember most because I understood that was what they wanted me to provide for the trial. I was never called for the first trial, therefore I'm not exactly sure what else there is for me to say when the one thing that they wanted on the stand, it is factually not correct and cannot be provided.
When they threatened you to charge with perjury, how was your state of mind?
Disappointment that legal counsel would go that route with someone who is from a factual timeline saying something is incorrect. There was no retracting based on emotion. It was very clear, given the timeline, it could not be correct.
Now you work with Boston Police Department?
Yes.
By the way, when you were camping, did you ever talk to anybody about interviewing or planting evidence or doing anything like that?
No, and this conspiracy theory came out a year and a half later. I was gone.
Did anybody from Canton ever try to suggest to you you should or shouldn't say something to help her side of the case?
No, because I was never spoken to until far after I left.
Did you ever see anybody in this case or any time you were with Canton doing something improper or tampering with evidence?
Not in this case or any case.
If you had, would you have reported it?
Yes.
Sustained. I'll strike that for you, ladies and gentlemen.
Did you transfer to the Boston Police Department? Did anybody from the Boston Police Department ever suggest that you should be your testimony the one way or another?
No.
Has anybody from the Boston Police Department ever given you any rewards or favors for defying your defense position?
No.
Has anybody ever suggested that you should say anything whatsoever that would be unhelpful to the defense?
No.
Has the Norfolk County District Attorney's Office ever encouraged you to testify in any way other than the truth?
No.
When you spoke to the chief of Boston Police Department, did he in any way ever tell you to shoot the testimony?
Not at all.
When you met with the Boston Police Department commissioner, did he ever ask you if that your testimony would or wouldn't be under oath?
He made it very clear he did not want to discuss the case at all.
When you spoke to the people at the Boston Police Department, have they ever weighed in any way on what they think you should or shouldn't say?
No.
As you're testifying here today, are you under any tension, under influence, stress, threat?
There is discomfort with the way that there's attempting to guide what my testimony is. But I don't feel any need to fall into it because I'm here to speak the truth on the stand. That's my livelihood.
When you were threatened with perjury, how long was that conversation?
I believe it was just about an hour on the phone. My phone log on my physical phone would not go back far enough for me to be able to retrieve the date or the time that that phone call took place.
That conversation lasted an hour?
Approximately.
How was it?
Not on a good note in the slightest. I remember it was a pretty hasty hang up on both ends.
Thank you for your time.
May I report briefly?
Yes.
A male voice on a phone call threatened to charge you with perjury?
Yes.
You're a police officer, correct?
Yes.
Jaren's doing the stare down.
Yeah.
If a crime is committed, there can be a report of it. So.
Who charges people with crimes?
In the end, it's going to go through the court system. So the district attorney, the ADAs, that's who pursues it in a court setting.
You ever seen a defense attorney charging anybody with a crime?
So you can seek out reporting someone for it.
Have you ever seen a defense attorney charge someone with a crime, ma'am?
Personally, no.
Right. Fact of the matter is, nobody ever threatened you with perjury, did they?
Oh, they did. Yes. I contacted the FBI regarding it.
Oh, did you?
I did.
You have a report?
I have an email conversation where I sent the two questions I had. She responded, I will pass these along. I was contacted by their legal team. They reassured me perjury was not applicable because I made a statement in good faith. Upon further information, I retracted it, corrected it, and made it clear that I could no longer say it because I knew that it was not a clear reflection of the events that took place.
That's a mouthful.
Yes.
My question is, do you have a report from the FBI saying that you reported that someone on the Jeremy defense team threatened to charge you, your words, with perjury?
No.
Any reports to that effect?
No.
No. Your job...
Now he's pissed.
...as a police officer... ...is to... ...be objective, isn't it?
Yes.
You're not supposed to take an adversarial position... ...against one side or the other, right?
I don't.
Just right down the middle, just the facts, as you noted, correct?
Yes.
You feel like you're being unbiased in your testimony here today in front of these jurors?
I'm telling the truth.
You think you're being fair to both sides?
All I have to do is tell the truth. If it's not perceived to be fair, that's someone else's opinion.
Let's talk about that truth for a second. What you told those law enforcement agents on August 9th, 2023 was... Quote, you recalled seeing Higgins at the station later that day on Saturday. Deborah thought it was also weird that Higgins and Chief Kenny Berkowitz were by themselves in the Sally Port of the police department, by themselves while Karen Reed's car was parked inside. Higgins was a witness and present at the gathering where O'Keefe was found dead outside, and then he was in the presence of important evidence. You were sitting at dispatch by yourself and saw on the camera outside of the Sally Port when they walked in.
Objection to the entire reading.
So, beyond the scope, so you have to keep it?
There's more to the statement, Your Honor. Do you remember making that statement to the officers?
My recollection of the time was that, so yes.
Okay, great. Did you go on to say, speaking of being truthful, did you go on to say...
I'm objecting.
All right, so you have to ask differently, but I need to see you for a minute with this and bring that up.
May I inquire?
Yes.
Thank you. Officer Dever, did you go on to say in that interview, quote, you never saw them leave, them being Brian Higgins and Chief Ken Berkowitz. You never saw them leave, but you recalled thinking to yourself that they were in the Sally Port for a wildly long time together in there, end quote. Did you say that?
That was my recollection of the time.
Okay.
So, yes.
Have you ever heard of By the way, you indicated on your questioning by Mr. Brennan that you knew what they wanted from me, meaning the defense. What they wanted from me.
Yes.
You ever
yes.
Do you remember my phone call that you read? Directly from the exact same report that I just read from you. Remember that?
And I told you the same thing then.
That's yes. My question.
Objection.
Sustained.
My question is, just answer my question, Officer Dever. Did we read to you where you read the exact same thing that I just read to you on that phone call?
Like, you can't remember my name. I don't remember.
So, the answer is I don't remember. No comments. All right, so no comments, just questions, please.
Do you recall us telling you that we were looking for the truth about your
objection.
Comments?
I'm going to allow it.
We're looking for the truth.
Which I gave you, yes.
Did you also say on that phone call something to the effect of, I know you're going to tear me a new one because I'm changing my testimony?
Changing, no. But you're trying to do that.
Did you say, I know you're going to tear me a new one?
What you're trying to do, so yes.
Actually, what you said was, you're going to tear me a new asshole, didn't you?
I don't recall that, so that's putting words in my mouth.
I'm not asking you to put words in your mouth. I'm asking you if you remember saying that during that phone call. Oh, I know
recall.
You're going to tear me a new asshole.
I don't recall.
Okay. But you do remember saying something to the effect of, I know you're going to tear me a new one, right?
Yes.
Okay. Have you ever heard of something called the blue wall of silence?
Objection.
Sister.
Do you think it's important for police officers to protect one another? In the field and out?
Objection.
Sustain.
Have you spoken with anyone? Not Mr. Brennan. He's covered that. Spoken with anyone from the district attorney's office? About your involvement in this case? Ever?
No.
Never?
Unless you're going to provide a person, I've never talked to any of these people.
Have you talked to anyone at the DA's office at all? In any regard?
Not to my recollection.
How about indirectly?
Not to my knowledge.
Are you friends with any people that you're aware of that are connected to this case? Are you personal friends? Girlfriends, boyfriends, personal friends? With anyone that's connected with this case?
Other people who's been on the witness stand, one person, yes.
Who's that?
Sarah Levinson.
How long have you known Sarah?
We became friends in middle school.
Did you watch any of the trial, this trial?
Clips in passing, but no, it's 6 hours a day. So I work during the day shift now.
So you've seen some of the footage of the goings on in this case, right?
Yes, nothing with her. I did not watch her testimony.
Were you wearing a sequence recently?
I don't know what that means, so no.
You're a sworn police officer. You don't know what sequestration means?
No.
In terms of witnesses?
No.
Not watching the proceedings in order to affect their testimony?
No, I wasn't aware.
But you did tune in to the case, correct?
In small clips, yes.
And you did, in fact, on August 9th, 2023, have a fulsome conversation with two sworn police officers about your memory of what you saw, your observations on January 29th, 2022.
I don't know if they're police officers necessarily, but yes.
Law enforcement agents, how about that?
Yes.
And that conversation is reflected in this piece of paper that I just read to you, correct?
Yes.
That's all I have.
Okay.
Were you subpoenaed by the Commonwealth in this case?
No.
You were subpoenaed by the defense?
Yes.
Did they tell you that there was a sequestration order or that you shouldn't watch any of the footage? Did they fairly inform you about what the ground rules were?
No, and I wasn't part of the first trial, so I had no idea about anything to do with this trial.
When you spoke to those law enforcement officers back in 2023, do you know that they made a report where you had informed them that they knew Sarah Levinson, and that report had been provided to the defense a long time ago? Did you know
yes,
that?
Yes, I informed them very clearly.
So the question about if you know Sarah Levinson, that's no secret in your world, is it?
In that form, I'm sustaining it.
That isn't a secret, is it?
Not at all.
That's something you were open and candid about?
Yes.
You understand that regardless of what you say, it doesn't matter as long as it's the truth. Do you understand that?
Yes.
The Commonwealth in no way is asking you to accommodate it or please it in any way. Do you understand that?
Yes.
If there's something that may be perceived by others as adverse to the Commonwealth, you understand we would want you to tell that if it was the truth, don't you?
Sustained.
You understand the Commonwealth has never intimated, suggested, or advised you to say anything other than the truth, have they?
No.
Have you been given any consideration or reward because you remedied your memory?
No.
After being shown the evidence that you left that day, January 29, 2022, at 3:45, and learning that the defendant's car did not get to the Sally Port at 5:30 or so p.m., is there any way you could have seen Mr. Berkowitz and Mr. Higgins in the Sally Port with the defendant's car that night before you left for work?
There is no way.
Understanding you made a mistake, was the defense receptive to your explanation that you made a mistake?
Objection. Sustained enough.
Did the defense pressure you when you told them you were going to come into this court and tell the truth about your mistake?
Objection.
No allow it.
Can you rephrase it?
Yes. When you told the defense you had made a mistake about your memory, did they pressure you?
Yes.
Did they pressure you to say something other than the truth?
Yes, they wanted me to repeat a lie at that point, given it would have been with malicious intent to repeat it.
Understanding a lawyer has no power to charge with contempt, does that change the reality of whether or not you were threatened? Let me ask it a different way. You were asked questions about whether or not you knew who could take out charges for a crime. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. Regardless of whether an attorney has that power, were you threatened that there'd be a charge of perjury if you didn't comply with the defense wishes in this case?
Yes.
Ooh.
And knowing you were going to come into court, given this experience you had with the defense, is that why you felt like they were going to tear you? Is that the phrase we used?
Yes, because they did not want me to tell the truth. So I told them that knowing they were kind of trying to eat me alive into repeating something that is not the truth.
Rather than to come in here and be attacked, wouldn't it have been easier just to said what you had earlier thought was true?
Objection.
I'm going to allow that.
Wouldn't it be easier just to come in and accommodate them rather than be threatened?
Well, of course.
So why did you come in here?
My entire job revolves around what I say on the stand right now. If I was to lie, I lose my job. I lose everything. I'm here to tell the truth. I cannot lie while sitting on the stand.
Ouch.
Thank you.
Oh, okay.
Your entire job revolves around what you say on the witness stand. Is that what you just testified to?
Yes.
And if you agree that what you said to those two law enforcement agents on August 9th, 2023, you'd be implicating not one, but two police officers, law enforcement officers, correct? If you agreed with what you said in August of 2023 on this witness stand, you would be implicating two officers, fellow officers, correct?
So, I'm confused as to what you're asking.
You would be implicating, if you agreed, you have not agreed that that was the truth. You've not indicated that what you told to law enforcement agents in August of 2023 was a lie.
No,
if you agreed with that statement here on the witness stand, you would be implicating two officers as having been in the Sally Port, weirdly, for a wildly long time with the SUV. implicating not one, but two fellow officers.
Correct.
That's what you would be doing.
It's not possible I
if
saw that.
If you agreed with it, would you be implicating the reputations of two officers?
If I was to lie, then yes.
And your entire job revolves around what you say on that witness stand. That's what you said, correct?
I'm still...
That's what you just said, Officer Deborah, correct?
I still don't really understand the question.
You just said, all I'm asking you is what you just said. Well, again, you just said, my entire job revolves around what I say on the witness stand, correct?
Yes to that question.
That's all I got.
I'm confused. When you spoke to those agents, you didn't implicate Chief Berkowitz and Mr. Higgins were doing anything criminal, did you?
No, they were friends. That's why Higgins had an office there.
You didn't implicate them ever suggesting they had tampered with evidence, did you?
No.
You never implicated them saying that they had framed anybody, did you?
No.
So when you talked to those agents, did you ever suggest that Mr. Higgins and Mr. Berkowitz did anything to touch or tamper with the defendant's license for all?
No.
Never?
No.
Is there anybody you're protecting?
I have no one to protect.
Do you need to protect anybody?
No.
All right, Officer Devin, you're awesome.
There you go.
Wow. Oh. She is a spitfire. Talk about a honey badger. Holy crap.
I mean,
you're right. Don't mess with her.
I see how both sides take their arguments on this, where one it's false memories. False memories do happen, as much as that is inconvenient in this moment in time and sucks. I mean, you could look at that anyway.
People are human.
But again, it would also require you to believe a lot of other bullshit for that conspiracy to have any sort of merit to it. So, yeah, people are human. And I don't know. So you're going to split either way right there, depending on whether you believe that's a false memory or not, depending on what you're going to say. Let me say this. At the end of the day, what do I think landed stronger with the jury? It wasn't the false memory thing in terms of if she's lying or making this up. It was her turning Alan Jackson into the FBI. That's what landed.
It's a loss of credibility, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's had there not been this part of the, and I certainly, there was a lot of conjecture that she threw in there beyond just the yes or no of what Alan Jackson was trying to get her to say. And it's that conjecture that really screwed the whole thing up for the defense on that witness. I don't think that was a very good performance. I think Alan Jackson was kind of, I think he was surprised by what he was dealing with there.
Well, they didn't have a long weekend. Last week was Memorial Day week, so they had a couple days off, but they were back at it. So I'm not sure what the excuse was.
I don't know.
Too many Bloody Marys at the bar, maybe?
And nobody had any pictures of them at Whole Foods with more large bottles of vodka sticking out of the bags?
I don't know. Something was up. He seemed a little off his game, and she just came plowing in, you know?
At this point,
no pun intended.
I think they're all exhausted. I mean, I think they're mentally exhausted. I think they're snapping when they're going to look back on that and go, damn it, I should have played it better.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest
day 25.
Yeah. I mean, the biggest thing with this, your client is not likable.
It's hard.
The general population, I do not think thinks Karen Reed is very likable after, if you're paying attention to this and you're looking at all of the stuff that she said, whether or not you want to go to the factually innocent thing or not, she's not likable. And that's important. And likability is a huge factor in this. I know it's not supposed to be, but it is. So to overcompensate for that, the attorneys for Karen should have been on their utmost best likability button because, and they're not.
She never could have done this.
They are not that.
No.
They are like, whiny toddlers with one of them, and just almost like a, I'm not trying to say this, but like a weird boyfriend that's going to stick up for the girl that's, even if she's doing and saying the most horrible shit. I'm not trying to imply there's a relationship there. I'm just using that as an example, or it could be a brother or something, you know, in Kentucky in the backwoods.
He's just defending her no matter what.
Yes. Yes. I don't know. That was a rough one. And I tell you, the rest of the day was not that much better either. We'll have that full audio up for you on our podcast channel, and the videos are going to be coming soon. I'll be actually working on those shortly. So yeah, lots to digest. Another day that I don't think went very well in the overall consensus for Karen Reed. It's just,
how long do you think we have left in this trial? I mean, they said 6 to 8 weeks. Aren't we? We're there, aren't we?
I'm gonna guess 1 to 2, maybe 2 to 3. It depends how much they want to get in on the defense side. But then you got the prosecution's gonna start up again too. So I would go 2 to 3. I'm going to guess closer to 2.5 is what I'm going to say. I don't know.
This is a very long trial.
Barring like Karen Reed not falling gravely ill and then everything has to be delayed or something.
She's not Lori Daybell, Tony.
Well, that's going on over there. But I tell you, you get to that point where it's collapse time and you see the walls closing in on you and you never know what the hell's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right.
I was really just trying to objectively look at this today and go, okay, I can see like where the false memory shit, if you're really like looking for conspiracy shit, that's a good one.
Yeah, it sure is.
But I mean, at the same time, I just, there'd be too many other things that would have to be in place for that whole damn thing to work out. And I don't buy that it's possible. I don't. There's too many moving parts and nobody holds a conspiracy together. That's why they don't work most of the time. And these folks all decided to do it just like that. And everybody's backing everybody. And I just don't buy it.
One person always gives in and nobody's given in. There's nobody there.
Everybody's willing to put their lives and careers and everything on the line. It just, and look, and the vehicle data shows what it shows. Mm-hmm. That's at the end of the day, it shows what it shows. So all this over here is for show, and it's to confuse the jury, and it's to try and introduce reasonable doubt. But I'm sorry, the vehicle data shows what it shows. And that shows pretty evidently there was something that happened between Karen Reed's vehicle and John O'Keefe.
Can I tell you a little something? This past weekend, I was in a high-end exotic car.
Mm-hmm.
It was a friend's. It was a rental car. And wow, the electronics in this vehicle.
Yeah.
It knew everything. I connected my phone to it just to play some good music because I had a great stereo. It knew everything. I mean, it was tapping into the sensors outside on the car. I mean, just it, like you'd walk up to the car and it connected and turned on the music.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't even in the car. It just turned it on and it turned on the air conditioning. It set the seats. I mean, it was like, whoa, dude. So I'm sorry. These cars are, they are way smarter than we are.
You keep having this thing with the car, and I agree that they are very, the cars know a lot.
But I'm giving this as a warning.
But I feel
people,
like you think the cars are doing more than they are.
They might be. I don't know.
They're honing into my brainwaves.
Yeah, but think about it. I had a 2005 Mini Cooper until 2 years ago, and now I've got a car that's got computer on board, like serious computer, and it astounds me what this thing tries to do sometimes. I told you I was driving in my neighborhood and it took over and started parking the car.
Yeah. They've been doing that for years.
I didn't tell it.
They've been doing that for years. Mine doesn't, but some do.
They didn't do it back then.
No, I know.
So I'm still the kid on Christmas morning. To me, this is like, oh my God, look what Santa brought. This is amazing to me.
I drove to Wichita this weekend, and that was about 4.5 hours. And it made me go, this is going to be really nice when they can just drive themselves.
Would you trust it?
Once it's more well used and tested out, yeah. Because at the end of the day,
okay,
I'd rather have all autonomous cars on the road that are doing their own thing rather than trusting human beings to be behind the wheel.
You know, and I get that, but also I was off for a couple of days and came back and my computers like had a mind of their own. I had to restart two of them twice.
Yeah.
So what happens when you have a computer glitch in a car that's running off of a computer?
Yeah, I mean, that's a very good question. There'll be issues, without a doubt.
Yep, there will be
issues. But I'm saying I think I'll be pretty old, but who knows? Once it's there, I think it'll be the only way you drive. It'll be probably illegal to drive a vehicle you are steering on public roads.
It's an interesting
thought. You'd be way too much of a nuisance and too much of a danger because they will be far more able to handle it in a far less chaotic way. Deaths will go down. I mean, yes, at the beginning, will it be chaotic I don't know about chaotic, but there's going to be issues here and there. There already is. But for the most part, they're working out pretty well, like what we've seen thus far with Tesla and such. But
I want to see computer assisted driving.
I have that.
But a little hardcore, like you can still be in charge. Yeah. Well, I suppose that is what it is, isn't it?
Yeah, mine does that. I can't just like let it drive by itself, but it assists me. It steers the wheel, but I have to keep my hands on it. And then,
but it steers for you?
Yeah, and it will slow you down, and it will.
How does it know where you're going? I mean, you're still turning.
Well, it'll stay within the lane of where you're at.
Interesting.
And it will turn with the turns or the curves. I mean, I wouldn't completely rely on it. You keep your hand on the wheel, but it just does it for you. And it slows down. You don't have to brake or anything you have your foot on the brake if you need to slam it, but it will also do that because it's watching anything in front of you.
So, what happens if you're on a road that doesn't have any lines on it?
Then you got some issues.
Does it know what it's doing?
No, not the greatest.
Okay.
This one relies on lines. But yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to that actually, because there's too many maniacs. I mean, I had several maniacs this weekend on the road. One, like I'm about to get on this side of a semi and kind of gun it to get around it. And this big Ford F-150, like literally like weaved at an angle between me and the back of the semi to get in front of me to get in there, and just maniac. And it was like, I had to like really hit the brakes. Otherwise I was going to get hit and people are only going to get dumber. So.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. And texting and driving is such a problem. I ran across somebody a couple months ago that said that I thought they were talking about listening to books while they drive.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. Audiobooks.
Yeah.
No, they were reading.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. They're reading. They're reading books on their phone. So it's not just a hardcover book or a paperback that they could throw down.
That's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? Because, you know, you're going to get a text, you're going to read that, you're going to go down the rabbit hole, you're going to be staring like, oh shit, I'm driving. Well, first of all, don't be reading while you're driving. It's bad enough that, you know, you're eating your McGriddle.
Natural selection is trying to break through in some way, shape, or form. And
that's exactly it.
Yeah. There you go. That's the Karen Reed trial for today, or at least the testimony of Kelly Dever.
Get it right.
Is it Dever? I think it's, I'm sorry. I'm horrible with names.
I think that's what, because now I'm going back and forth because I had Devers.
I want to say it's Dever. I'm pretty sure.
I think it's Dever no S.
No S. No S.
S.
So, not a great day, but let us know in the comments what your thoughts were on how everything played out for the trial of Karen Reed today.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now.
and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.